several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me, don't try to fool me.
And it is so great to be back in our super secret broadcast location located in our turn-of-the-century barn, which has been meticulously restored for our purposes. It is nestled in a pristine vineyard in wine country, but we can't tell you which wine country we're in, or I guess we could tell you, but we're not going to. Anyway, one of these days, we hope CNN's cameras will come out and do a feature on Grape Encounters and show you exactly where we're at. But until then, we'll just have to keep it a secret. You know, I wandered into the big city for much of this week, and I have stories to tell from that venture. And a little later on in Grape Encounters, we're going to have a member of the New York Islanders hockey team on. He's a hockey star that has a wine connection. Actually, we're going to be talking about wine aeration. Wine aeration with a hockey star. You know, actually, you would think that hockey players would have natural aeration going on because they've got those missing front teeth, and that sucks in a little air when they're drinking their wine. But anyway, it's going to be an interesting conversation with Zenon Konopka. He's a very nice guy, and we know that he's sitting in a restaurant in New York City right now, and we're trying to get him over to a landline so we can understand everything that he's saying. But until then, I want to talk to you a little bit more about wine blending, because I was lured to an event by our own Amy Riley, author of the Love Diet Cookbook, of course, the world's leading expert on the aphrodisiac qualities found in many foods and wines. And Amy was having an event this week. She had invited some folks from Rodney Strong, bigwigs from Rodney Strong, actually, Robert Larson, the PR director, and Rick Sayer, the winemaker of this very well-known and very wonderful winemaking operation. Anyway, they've got this seminar that they've created. I'm holding the brochure here. It's called Cemetery, named after their Cemetery Meritage wine. And anyway, it's a really interesting thing that they're doing. It's a traveling seminar that teaches people the ins and outs of blending. And what they actually do is they put in front of you several different Bordeaux varietals and give you some guidance. And then we formed teams and went to work on blending our own version of Cemetery. Actually, the object wasn't to create, or I should say recreate, Cemetery, but to create something that was as good as it could possibly be. And anyway, you know, I thought I would talk to you for a moment about Meritage wines and, you know, clue you in on what that all means, because just because wines are blended together doesn't make it a Meritage. Some people say Meritage, but I believe the exact pronunciation is Meritage, and it was instituted in 1989. The term Meritage is a certification mark registered with the U.S. Department of Trademarks and Patents, and it was coined in 1988 by a group of vintners who were trying to establish standards of identification for a category of American blended wines made with traditional Bordeaux grape varietals. Anyway, the name Meritage is actually a compound word. It combines the words merit and heritage. and the name was chosen from over 6,000 entries in an international contest held by these vendors. Anyway, the purpose of their association is to help identify quality American wine blends that, because they're not made with at least 75% of a single varietal, can't use that varietal name on the label. So this forced many producers of really terrific wines to either use generic names like Claret or Red Table Wine, or proprietary names, for instance, like Insignia from Joseph Phelps Vineyards. But both practices caused a great deal of confusion in the marketplace. So to be designated as a Meritage, a wine must meet the following standards. First, it must be a blend of two or more Bordeaux grape varieties. Then secondly, it must be the winery's best wine of its type. I'm not really sure how they determine that, actually, because that seems subjective to me. Thirdly, it must be produced and bottled by a U.S. winery from grapes that carry a U.S. appellation. And fourth, its production is limited to a maximum 25,000 cases per vintage. And that's the lowdown on Meritage wines. But anyway, back to the seminar. As I told you, they put a number of bottles of wine in front of us. Actually, what they did was they gave us a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, a bottle of Merlot, a bottle of Cab Franc, a Petit Verdot, and a Malbec, and then we set about the task of blending these wines. And actually, I found that a little bit confusing because first, they had this sort of placemat that was in front of us, and it had little circles on the placemat, and in the circle was placed each of these wines. But then on top of that, there was an empty mixing glass, and we had some tools for extracting wine from some other bottles, which were bottles containing each of these varietals. And so there were some tricky little tools that we had to use to extract just the right amount of wine to make things happen. At any rate, we went about our business under the watchful eye of the winemaker from Rodney Strong, and it was a whole lot of fun. I took one run at it, and I thought I had done fairly well, but I also believed that my wine could stand to be a little bit softer on the palate, so I dumped that one out and started over again, and that's when I really started to have trouble with my mixing tools. But I do believe that I got it right in the end. Oh my gosh, but I'm so sad to report that I did not win. Now, our team's wine, and when I say I was given the opportunity to be the guiding force in mixing these wines. Maybe that was a mistake, but at any rate, my wine consisted mostly of Cabernet Sauvignon, but just a little over 50%. We had about 15% Merlot. We had about the same amount of Cab Franc. I used, I think, 17% Malbec and about 3 or 4% Petit Verdot, and that is the skinny on our wines. And actually, Rick, the winemaker from Rodney Strong, actually said that that my wine was very sexy and really liked it a lot. But in the end, he gave the medal to another team that, in fact, it was Amy Riley's team, and they mixed Cabernet Sauvignon and Petit Verdot in almost equal quantities. And you never see that much Petit Verdot in a Meritage wine, but that's what they did all the same. And they won that contest, and oh well. Anyway, we won a couple of nice prizes, and we've got a lot more for you on Grape Encounters, and can't wait to bring on Zenon Konopka from New York City when we return with more Grape Encounters Radio.
We're just getting started. We're going to break open the really good stuff any minute now on Grape Encounters Radio. Here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we're very choosy about who we put on the show, and even more choosy about who we put on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. We really, really want to present nothing but quality to the listeners of Grape Encounters Radio and the visitors to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. But I want to really encourage you to go over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com because we've got some products there that I think you will really enjoy. First, just out of pure fun, we've presented to you the wine sports bra from Papa Bert's, and you've really got to check that out because it's a very, very cool invention. And also on Grape Encounters Radio, you'll find a link to the original Wine of the Month Club, the only wine club that we wholeheartedly endorse. So wander over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com, and we also have lots of links to all of our friends, people that we really think that you need to know. It's GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at CatalinaVacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at CatalinaVacations.com.
A little over a year and a half ago, I was doing some wine tasting in Los Olivos, California, and I accidentally wandered into a new tasting room called Sarlos & Sons, and at the time I couldn't even pronounce the name. But boy, can I pronounce it now, because the Sarlos family has become great friends with Grape Encounters Radio. And not only are they a great family to know, they make some of the best wines that I've ever tasted, and they are staples in my household. So I want to steer you over to SarlosAndSons.com, because if you're looking for wines that you can buy that you know are going to be absolutely fabulous, then this is the place to go. No matter what you pay for their wines, I guarantee you that you will find an absolutely outstanding value at Sarlos & Sons. There's not a single wine on their wine list that will disappoint you. This is really, really something that I can recommend with all my heart and soul. It's SarlosAndSons.com. The Sarlos wines are absolutely out of this world. As I look back over the last year and a half, it's amazing to me how many of the guests that we've had on Grape Encounters Radio came to us through Facebook. You know, it's staggering how big the wine-loving community is on Facebook. And we really, really want you to become a member of the Grape Encounters Radio group page. So please, next time you're on Facebook, just search for Grape Encounters Radio. You'll find our group page and join the crowd and join the fun. You're going to discover a whole lot of really interesting people there. And if you just peruse the posts on Grape Encounters Radio, I think you'll make some additional friends that will really, really expand your wine loving experience. Again, it's Grape Encounters Radio on Facebook. It's the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page. And we really, really want you to become our friend. And by the way, when you're there, let us know topics that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
And now your grape encounter continues. How sweet or dry it is on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
You know, it was about a year ago that I was on Grape Encounters giving you a list of the things that I really loved that were products associated with enjoying wine. And one of the things that had really become so popular in the last couple of years, really the last 3 years, was the acrylic aerator. And there are a number of those that have been made since then. I've tried a number of them. But there is one that came into my possession very recently, and I'll tell you a little bit more in just a second about how this aerator came to pass. But I do want to start with a little story. I was at my girlfriend's house, and I was pouring myself a glass of wine, and it was an opportunity to try this aerator for the very first time. And I poured two glasses of wine. One was a glass of wine with no aeration, and the other one was using this aerator, which is called the Vinair. It's V-I-N-A-I-R-E. And like I said, I've been a very big fan of aerators. I love the Venturi, which of course they've sold millions of those. It seems like almost everybody's got one now. But you know, there are good things and bad things about all the aerators, but this This Vin Air, I think, is one of the best that I had ever tried. And so just for the fun of it, I took the two glasses, the aerated one and the unaerated one, and I asked my girlfriend's mother, who just marginally likes wine, to just see if she noticed any difference in the wine. And she tried the unaerated wine first and said, basically, she said, yuck, didn't even like the wine, and then tried the one that had gone through the aerator, and she went nuts over it and actually proclaimed that she might become a wine drinker, again because of this Vin Air product. So anyway, I want to tell you a little bit about the background. I've got somebody on the line right now, all the way from New York City, I believe, and it is Zenon Konopka, and if you know that name, it's because you're a hockey fan. He plays for the New York Islanders. And I guess, Zenon, we've got you in a restaurant right now, eh?
Yeah, we're in New York City and enjoying some great food in New York. And we'll definitely be having a few glasses of wine.
Okay, well, I have so much that I want to talk to you about and about this product. Okay, first of all, but you're actively playing with the Islanders. I think you've been with the Islanders for just this season, right?
Yeah, I was in Tampa Bay last season. I'm with the Islanders this season, and I guess part of my claim to fame is I led the NHL in penalty minutes last year, and I'm leading the NHL in penalty minutes this year, so... rough around the corners until you get me in front of a bottle of wine, and then things seem to chill out.
So here's the first question. I used to spend a lot of time up in Canada, and I didn't notice a lot of wine drinking going on up there, especially if you went into a sports bar, you know, during the finals, and they had the games on, and everybody had a Molson or a Moosehead or something of that nature. But I guess hockey players and hockey fans alike do drink wine in Canada then?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, kind of the older you get and the more established you get, you know, you like to go out, especially on the road, and take in a nice restaurant and a nice bottle of wine. And, you know, the one thing we found is that, you know, hockey players like wine, but we're pretty impatient people, and waiting for a wine to decant for 40 minutes wasn't really in our repertoire. So that kind of started it. But being from Canada, I'm from Niagara Lake, Ontario, Canada. Originally, that's my hometown, and you know, it's the capital of the world for ice wine. And you know, all my buddies work in wineries, own wineries, and you can't help but you know, get a little bit of education on some wine. And you know, obviously, the more you drink wine and study wine, the more you like it, the more you're trying to have a passion and obsessed with it. And you know, while I was in Tampa Bay, we came across this aerator and became partners in the company.
So it's not just you, but is there how many other hockey players involved in the company?
We have three hockey players in the company. It's Jeff Halpern that plays in Montreal with the Canadiens, myself that plays with the Islanders, and Pierre Parento that plays with the Islanders as well. And we're all involved in the companies out of Tampa Bay. And just a little bit of background on the company is that a buddy of ours owned a few wine stores in Tampa and was selling a very good product called the Ventura. But the one thing with the Ventura was they found it not to be super practical, that even though it was a great product, there was a lot of spillage, the capacity was kind of small, and, you know, if you have a white tablecloth and have a little bit of drippage of white red wine, it's not so cool. So he designed something, and, you know, through engineers and a lot of time and effort, we came up with our product. And it's very similar to the Ventura, but, you know, we went to sommeliers, and they think our product, the final product, comes out a little better. And the key is that ours goes back into the bottle as well. So as you pour a glass of wine, instead of having to drag it over your white tablecloth into the stand, you can put it back in the bottle and carry it over to the stand so you don't have the spillage. And it's double the capacity, so you can kind of free pour. And we all know after, you know, four or five bottles of wine through the crew, it's nice to have that luxury of free pouring the wine through your aerator.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I noticed actually you have a sort of a female end on the bottom of the acrylic device, and it fits right into the neck of the wine bottle, right? And that's where it sits until you do your next pour, right?
Yeah, it's pretty key. It's pretty key for spillage, and it's really practical, and it's something that it's been pretty positive that, we have them in wineries in Niagara Lake, and, all the winery owners that I went to, I said, can you, use this in your tasting? He said, well, we can't use the Ventura. We've tried. But if your product's a little more practical, we'll give it another shot. And they have, and they've had some success with it. So, it's something that we're really excited about, that we've had nothing but positive things for every meeting we've been through, and from sommeliers to my cousin that picks up a wine glass maybe once or twice a year can tell the difference. So it's been really cool and really exciting.
Okay, well, I have to tell you this. Okay, first of all, I am a really big fan of the Venturi. We've had Rio Sabadici, who is the president of the company, and I think he designed that originally, on the show. And, there's no question that product does a really good job. I have to say, I haven't done a side-by-side comparison between the Vin Air and the Venturi, but I will tell you that I liked what I discovered in using the Vin Air. I thought it did a really good job. I agree with you about the value of having the larger bowl at the top. I guess I just wonder this. There's a couple of hockey players that are sitting around a table, and I wouldn't think that you would be talking about wine aeration. I'd think you'd be talking about something else. It seems like an unlikely product for you guys. But how deeply involved are you in the company? It sounds like you know a lot about the product.
Yeah, no. We're deeply involved in it. And, when we, three of us have one thing in common, is that when we get involved in something that we want to have a passion for it. So, over the course of the season that, you travel to great places like, Los Angeles, Atlanta, into Canada, into Montreal. And when you go for a nice dinner night before a game, guys want a nice bottle of wine. And usually the wine list is passed to one of us. And, we've educated a lot of hockey players on aeration and decanting of wine. And, anytime you can improve a product, it doesn't matter if you're a hockey player, a businessman, or anyone else. It's going to be a positive feedback, and it has been. And we got all the Islanders using their Vin Air on a consistent basis.
Hey, gang, if you're just joining us and you wonder what the heck we're talking about, yes, we are talking aeration, not with a winemaker, wine expert, but with a great hockey player, Zenon Konopka from the New York Islanders. And Zenon, I think this is just such an interesting story. I'm curious about patents. I'm not sure how it exactly works, but I know that both of the devices that we're talking about, the Vin Air and the Venturi, work on the Venturi principle, right? Basically, you pour a liquid into the chamber and it draws air in as the liquid flows downward, right? I mean, that's basically all that happens, right?
Not to get too technical, but ours is a little different from their product, and hopefully that gives us an edge. It took a lot of time and effort for the design and the engineering behind it, but at the end of the day, you want to infuse that oxygen into your wine, right? And that's what you're looking for, and I think we do a pretty good job of doing it.
So, I mean, obviously you worked with some engineers on the product, and I think it has to be just so in terms of how much air goes in as the wine flows through the product. Is there any difference between the various aeration devices that are out there? I mean, because there are, as we know, there are a number of different devices made out of acrylic, and I think actually even some other materials that work on this principle. And I just wonder if there's any comparisons that you've done between your product and some of the other ones that are out there.
Obviously the one kind of speed bump for us that it's frustrating at some times is that, they have aerators that go straight, directly into the bottle. And it simply just doesn't do a sufficient job of aerating your wine. Yeah, I guess it is a little more convenient to do that. And right now we're in the works with our engineers of trying to come up with something that goes in the bottle that actually will aerate it to the full extent. But right now, personal opinion. I don't think they do a good enough job. But
I want you to hold that thought for just 1 second, because that's something I really want to talk about. Can you hang in there for just a couple of minutes with us, and let's continue on that thought? You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio with Zenon Konopka, one of the partners in the creation of the Vin Air, one of the newest aerators, a very fine one, I must admit. And there's a lot more we're going to talk about in just a second.
You're indulging yourself on Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines of security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
Hey, if you're looking for a really good wine club to join, I really recommend the original Wine of the Month Club. It's a really terrific wine club, and you will find a link to the Wine of the Month Club over at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. This isn't a shameless paid endorsement. We're endorsing the Wine of the Month Club because we really, really believe in what they're doing over there, and we really think the quality of their products are out of this world. Also, just for fun, on GrapeEncountersRadio.com, you will find a link to Papa Burt's, where you will find the wine sports bra. Yes, indeedy, it's a bra that you can fill up with a full bottle of your favorite wine. It is simply the best invention that we've found in a long time. So check out what we've got to offer over at GrapeEncountersRadio.com, and be sure to also visit all of our other friends who are linked to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. Check it out, folks. Hey, listen, if you guys want to discover some really amazing wines, wines that I recommend with all my heart and soul, then you need to go over to SarlosAndSons.com. Or better yet, if you're in Los Olivos, California, you just want to check out their tasting room, because it's an incredible place to taste some incredible wines. They've just released the 2009 Mother, which is a Grenache Blanc that will blow your shorts off. Also, the 2009 In-Law, which is a whole cluster Pinot Noir, which is to die for. Also, the 2008 Father, which is 100% Syrah. And I love, love, love the Sarlos & Sons Syrahs, or the 2008 Sun, which is 100% estate-grown Cabernet. And finally, the 1947 Man and Wife, which is 100% estate grown from two vineyards. That's just a part of the list. There's so many more wines for you to enjoy, but I can tell you absolutely and completely that you will love everything you taste at Sarlos & Sons. It's SarlosAndSons.com. It cracks me up when I think about the beginning of the Grape Encounters Radio website. When we first put it up, we had visitors to the tune of about two or three or four every single day, and I wondered what we were doing that for. But now we've got literally thousands of people visiting the website every single day, and we encourage you to do exactly the same. Go over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. There you will find our complete archive of every single show that we've done for the last year and a half. You'll also find links to all of the friends that we've made on Grape Encounters Radio. You'll also find our Grape Encounters Radio blog and our Grape Encounters Radio photo gallery, which has photos of many of the people that we've had here on the show. Please wander on over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You can also send us a note there. It's a great way to reach us. Just let us know your comments about the show. Let us know if you have somebody interesting that you'd like to put on the show, or things that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
Your grape escape continues on Grape Encounters Radio, here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
But you'll be
Oh my gosh, I was so lucky to be able to get Zenon Konopka from the New York Islanders on the line to talk about wine aeration. You're scratching your head out there and saying, what, Dave? Hockey players and aeration? But it's true. Three hockey players got together with at least one or two other guys and came up with something called the VinAir, which is really, I think, one of the finest aeration devices I've seen so far. It's acrylic, and I've got Zenon on the line, and I really appreciate you staying on for another segment. Now, you're Canadian-born, right? So you've stayed pretty close to home in your hockey career, I guess. And let's see, for how many seasons have you been playing?
I've been playing for 11 seasons pro. I played in Tampa Bay last year, and I bounced around all over the United States, everywhere from Wheeling, West Virginia, to Salt Lake City, Utah, to Anaheim, California. And, you know, along my travels, you know, definitely something that sparks a lot of interest is exploration of ice wine. And, you know, being from Niagara on Lake, there's more ice wine made in Niagara on Lake than pretty much the rest of the world combined because of the escarpment in the lake and kind of a cycle that blows through there. So we're pretty proud of our ice wine, and we're starting to get a little better at a bunch of other varieties too. So every summer I go back home and you know, enjoy some wine and some ice wine with friends, and you know, you can't help but, you know, have a passion for it if it's, you know, right in your hometown.
Hey, so what temperature are you cooling the ice wine down to?
Well, the ice wine, the grapes stay on the vines
right
to the middle of winter. And they're picked at frigid temperatures at, you know, we're talking about 15 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
And usually they're picked in the middle of winter. I've picked ice wine before, and you have to actually process it right away. And there's what they call the ice wine police that comes around and regulates this to make sure it's being pressed. And pretty much what happens is when you press these grapes, you know, there's going to be a big chunk of ice, and all that comes out is, you know, pretty much the sugar.
Right.
And so it's rather expensive because of the manual process, and you only get, you know, such a little bit of juice out of so many grapes. Now that chunk of ice is broken up, put heaters to it, and pressed again. Now that can't be called ice wine. That can be called late harvest wine, which is also a nice dessert wine. But it doesn't have the sweet touch of the ice wine and the legit ice wine. And it's a really, really, really great dessert wine. That it is something special that everyone should have in their life.
So it's something that we serve very cold, right? I mean, I like it cold.
Yep.
I just wonder.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
I do as well.
And then what's the residual sugar in those ice wines? Do you know?
I think we're going up to. I think here I'm going to be in trouble if I get this wrong.
you can get it.
26, I think.
That actually qualifies as pancake syrup, just so you know.
Yeah, it is. It's high. Like, my buddies aren't listening because I'm going to be crucified over this one. But yeah, it's high. You're having one little glass of ice wine. It's nothing that you have two or three.
Well, speak for yourself. Okay, so you actually grew up in the wine business, I guess. Then you have some experience out there actually picking the stuff. That's got to be a tough job.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm. We had wine grapes. We also had, you know, peaches, pears, apples, and you know, a bunch of my good buddies work at wineries, their own wineries. So definitely in the wine business, and grew up in the wine business, and, you know, pretty proud of your hometown and, you know, kind of, you know, how hard work people work in there.
So let me ask you this question, you know, and it's a question, I guess, that applies to all professional athletes. You're on the road for how many months out of the year?
Well, off and on for 9 months.
Okay, so and then you've got three off. You're not playing every day. It seems to me like you guys get hit up a lot, don't you, to get involved in different ventures and products. I mean, that's a pretty common thing, right?
Yeah. No, it's something that there's not many days that go by that we're not hit up to get involved with something. You know, but for us, you know, we are pretty busy, and if you're going to get involved with something, I think you have to have a little bit of background in it, and obviously a passion and a belief for it. And
right.
we did our due diligence before getting involved with the Savin Air Company, and you know, we played devil's advocate, and I brought it back home to my buddies, and you know, we really didn't find much wrong with the product. And you know, when you kind of bring it back to people that own wineries and sommeliers, and they're backing you, it was something that you know, we made the step and got involved, and kind of took it to the next level.
So with any luck, you will become the George Foreman of the wine aeration world then?
Yeah, that's
something
that
like that.
Great. That sounds great. Now, for everyone listening too, we do have we've teamed up with the Islanders Children Foundation for the month of January.
Okay.
And if you go to vinaire.com, and that's vinaire.com, and if you buy a wine aerator and put the promotional code Islanders in, $10 from each aerator will go to the Children's Foundation and the New York Islanders, you know, community and Children's Hospital. And we're really excited about this, to give back to the kids. And
that's really cool.
Going really well, and hopefully we can continue to raise some money for the Children's Foundation.
Is that a pretty successful foundation?
Yeah, it is. It is. They do so many great things for the hospitals and for the young people of Long Island, and it's great to be part of it. And you know, we're trying to raise you know, 10 grand in the month of January. We're definitely not capping it at that. You know, we want to even get bigger numbers than that.
Okay, so I want to go back to wines for a second. Now, you're sitting in a restaurant right now. Tell me the restaurant.
It is Bella Vita.
Bella Vita sounds Italian, right? So
yeah.
Are you having wine tonight?
We will have some wine tonight. We just got here. It's apparently the best pizza in New York. My buddy's been raving about it. So we're going to enjoy some pizza with a nice bottle of Cab or something like that. So I haven't looked at the wine list yet, but I'm sure they have something that will go along with a nice slice of pizza.
Okay, so I want to get into your preferences. I want to know what you guys are drinking out there. First of all, our show's coming to you from California. So the first question is, do you drink California wines?
No, absolutely.
And, okay.
You know, I've been out to Napa Valley, and you know, it's fabulous. You know, it's there's nothing like it in the world, and you know, it's kind of, you kind of step out of the United States of America when I think you go into Napa Valley. And you know, we had a lot of great wine tours, and had a lot of fun there. And we always want to stay true to Canada as well, so we
right.
definitely mix some Niagara wines and some BC wines into our repertoire, and it also that you know, a lot of Italian wines as well. We've kind of begun into over the last little bit, being in New York and in Long Island. You know, it's definitely a work in progress for us too. That we definitely, you know, we have a lot to learn as hockey players on wine, but we're doing our best to get there.
It's so interesting to me, you know, the hockey fan base, you know, seems like a group of people that would be very committed to supporting the Canadian beer industry. But are you seeing a change in tastes and preferences? You know, as you obviously get out among the fans, and are you seeing more wine drinkers there? Because that's certainly what's happening in the United States. But I just wonder what's happening up in Canada, if you're having the same experience there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest market or markets would be, you know, in Quebec and Montreal. They're very passionate about wine, and you know, we've had a few meetings about the Vin Air. In Quebec, and we've been pleasantly surprised on how much of a knowledge they have for wine, and it really, you know, it really is the mini France, and they take their wine drinking very seriously there, and then obviously going into Niagara and going into, you know, BC and Alberta, nice little wine regions there that are getting a lot better and are starting to, you know, win some decent awards. On a national stage and even at a North American stage. So, you know, again, being Canadian, that you know, we're a little behind, obviously, the U.S. when it comes to the wines, but we're definitely catching up and excited about it.
You know, the thing is, you know, I've been drinking wine since I could drink, and never preferred beer over wine. And I always felt sometimes like when I would go to a gathering where, you know, especially if it was a sports-related gathering and everybody was drinking beer and I had my glass of wine, I sort of felt a little, well, out of place, let's call it, you know, maybe that people were looking at me and thinking, hey, what a sissy that guy is. But I guess
I guess that's
changing. You know, if you ever just dig into a really big cab, there's nothing feminine about that, is there?
No, I think that persona's changed quite a bit, and I've seen the change just, you know, 11 years playing pro hockey from 11 years ago to now, that there is a big change. And I'll tell you that, you know, I lead the NHL in penalty minutes, and I had 33 fights last year, and there's the majority of the time I'll have a glass of wine over there, so I don't think anyone's arguing that part of it.
TheHockeyNews.com has a great quote about you. They said that you are a guy who isn't afraid of dishing out punishment. You're a bit on the aggressive side, and that all for real, by the way? I think sometimes people look at the fights at hockey games a lot like they look at professional wrestling, but you know what causes that to happen?
And it's definitely legit. That I've had over 500 stitches in my face. And, I broke my nose, I think, over 13 or 14 times. So no, it's definitely real, and I have the stitches to prove it.
Now, if you're missing a few front teeth and you drink a glass of wine, is that a natural aeration process?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Oh, my God. Hey, Zenon, we're running out of time, but I just want to—I want to plug your product again because it's really cool, guys, and it's priced really nice. They're not paying me to do this, but on the line, Zenon Konopka from the New York Islanders, and next game is what? I think it's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yep, tomorrow night against Ottawa.
Yeah. And he and his buds have come up with a product called the Vinair. As I said, it's VINAIRE. And it's really worth taking a look at. I can absolutely tell you, if you spend money on this product, it is well worth the investment. And really, gang, if you're drinking wine without aeration, and I especially mean red wine, you are blowing it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, hey, Zenon, thanks very much. I really appreciate you being on the show. And we're going to catch up with you guys, and maybe we'll do a little bit of studying on that white wine aeration and see what happens. But anyway, I really appreciate it. Good luck in the game, and good luck for the rest of the season. We really appreciate you guys being on. Lots more Grape Encounters coming to you. Pour another glass, gang. We've got lots to talk about.
We're far from ready to put a cork in it yet. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
As I look back over the last year and a half, it's amazing to me how many of the guests that we've had on Grape Encounters Radio came to us through Facebook. You know, it's staggering how big the wine-loving community is on Facebook. And we really, really want you to become a member of the Grape Encounters Radio group page. So please, next time you're on Facebook, just search for Grape Encounters Radio. You'll find our group page and join the crowd and join the fun. You're going to discover a whole lot of really interesting people there. And if you just peruse the posts on Grape Encounters Radio, I think you'll make some additional friends that will really, really expand your wine loving experience. Again, it's Grape Encounters Radio on Facebook. It's the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page. And we really, really want you to become our friend. And by the way, when you're there, let us know topics that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio. At Grape Encounters Radio, we're very choosy about who we put on this show, and even more choosy about who we put on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. We really, really want to present nothing but quality to the listeners of Grape Encounters Radio and the visitors to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. But I want to really encourage you to go over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com because we've got some products there that I think you will really enjoy. First, just out of pure fun, we've presented to you the wine sports bra from Papa Bert's, and you've really got to check that out because it's a very, very cool invention. And also on Grape Encounters Radio, you'll find a link to the original Wine of the Month Club, the only wine club that we wholeheartedly endorse. So wander over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com, and we also have lots of links to all of our friends, people that we really think that you need to know. It's GrapeEncountersRadio.com. A little over a year and a half ago, I was doing some wine tasting in Los Olivos, California, and I accidentally wandered into a new tasting room called Sarlos & Sons, and at the time I couldn't even pronounce the name. But boy, can I pronounce it now, because the Sarlos family has become great friends with Grape Encounters Radio. And not only are they a great family to know, they make some of the best wines that I've ever tasted, and they are staples in my household. So I want to steer you over to sarlosandsons.com, because if you're looking for wines that you can buy that you know are going to be absolutely fabulous, then this is the place to go. No matter what you pay for their wines, I guarantee you that you will find an absolutely outstanding value at Sarlos & Sons. There's not a single wine on their wine list that will disappoint you. This is really, really something that I can recommend with all my heart and soul. It's sarlosandsons.com. The Sarlos wines are absolutely out of this world. It cracks me up when I think about the beginning of the Grape Encounters Radio website. When we first put it up, we had visitors to the tune of about two or three or four every single day, and I wondered what we were doing that for. But now, we've got literally thousands of people visiting the website every single day, and we encourage you to do exactly the same. Go over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. There you will find our complete archive of every single show that we've done for the last year and a half. You'll also find links to all of the friends that we've made on Grape Encounters Radio. You'll also find our Grape Encounters Radio blog and our Grape Encounters Radio photo gallery, which has photos of many of the people that we've had here on the show. Please wander on over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You can also send us a note there. It's a great way to reach us. Just let us know your comments about the show. Let us know if you have somebody interesting that you'd like to put on the show, or things that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
Good to the last drop. Still time for more Grape Encounters Radio. Here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Well, if there's one thing that really stands out about the year 2010, it's got to be that wacky weather that hit us in the fourth quarter, and it seems like it hit almost every significant grape-growing area. And in talking to the wine grape growers, they were definitely dealing with some challenges in getting the grapes in and dealing with the consequences of that weather. But most say that there are going to be some great wines that will come out of 2010, but in the meantime, I thought I would share with you some information just put out by Wine Enthusiast magazine. They talk about what to buy in 2011 in a very recent article, really last week, and they break it down by areas, first in North America. And I guess we'll start right here in the home of Grape Encounters Radio, California. And this is what they're telling us. They're saying that the 2009 North Coast vintage was particularly difficult due to rain and will require careful selection, especially when you're shopping for Cabernet Sauvignon and Bordeaux-style blends. So kids, do your research and don't willy-nilly just buy them off the shelf, because you could find some problem childs there in that 2009 vintage. They suggest focusing your buying on North Coast cabs and blends from 2006 and 2008, which are still available in abundance and should prove age-worthy. The Pinot Noirs from 2007 and 2008 are also very good across the board, and they give their nod to the stellar 2007s, especially from the Sonoma Coast and Alexander Valley. And if you want something that you can drink right now, the Enthusiast is suggesting 2006 Pinots, which are showing very well, especially those from our friends in Santa Barbara County. And you know, of course, that we are big Santa Barbara County Pinot fans, especially those folks in the Santa Rita Hills who are doing some great work. Thanks, Wes Hagen, the gang over there. You guys are doing a great job. Anyway, moving on, Syrah, Zinfandel, and Chardonnays are not particularly ageable and can decline after a few years in the bottle. So until the 2009s are released, seek more recent vintages such as the 2007s. Now we're going to hop up to Washington State, where the Wine Enthusiast folks say that the 2010 year brought challenges, but still should be excellent for Merlots and Syrahs. They say that cabs will be spotty and that the effects of rot and mold may hurt the white wines. Right now, they're telling us that the 2006 reds are coming out of their shells. The 2007s remain very sculpted and stylish, just like me. And the 2008 whites are often searingly acidic, but vivid and racy, delicious with oysters. So heck, if you're a big oyster taster fan, you're going to be just fine with those 2008 wines. Otherwise, I'm not sure what to advise you to eat. Now, right next door in Oregon, the 2010 vintage was wet throughout the harvest season, so you're going to have to pick your producers very, very carefully. The 2008 Pinots are getting extremely good press, and they really deserve that, says Wine Enthusiast magazine. But some real bargains can be found among the 2007s, and we are bargain hunters at Grape Encounters Radio, so check out the Oregon 2007s. They are very drinkable right now. And the 2006 Pinots are a vintage that should be in the cellar, though they're quite ready to be enjoyed right now as well. But you want to collect the 2006 Pinots from Oregon if you get the opportunity. Oh my gosh, my brother and sister-in-law gave me a gift of a wine club membership, and that was solely made up of Oregon Pinots, and I have been enjoying that very much for the past year. Okay, going to New York, we've been talking to a lot of folks up in New York State on the show this last year, and anyway, they tell us that the summer of 2009 was very cool, but perfect for lovers of aromatic, high acidic Rieslings from the Finger Lakes. It was a great year for Reds in 2008, and those wines are still on the market, but treasure hunters will be rewarded with some late-released Long Island and Finger Lakes Merlots and Cab Francs from the years 2004 and 2005. Now off to the Southern Hemisphere, and of course, first stop needs to be Australia. And by all accounts, the 2010 vintage is very promising, but the 2009 is remarkably consistent, according to Wine Enthusiast, and should offer top wines from all of the major growing regions, with the possible exception of Yarra Valley. Heat spikes make 2008 wines more hit and miss, and for drinking, crack open Clare Valley Rieslings from 2002 and 2005, but give the big reds from 2007 a little more time to shed their sometimes difficult tannins. Those reds from 96 and 98 continue to shine. If you're able to get wines from New Zealand, just note that most New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs should be consumed within a year of the vintage, so drink up any remaining 2009s and look for the 2010s. Hey, gang, if you haven't had wines from New Zealand, you might want to make it a point to pick some up if you can find them in the big wine stores. Well worth the effort. Wines that I've been trying a lot of lately are the South African wines, and I haven't mastered how to choose a great South African wine because I've run into some real stinkers. Or maybe it's just that I'm not accustomed to that style of winemaking. It's very different than what you're going to find made in California. But anyway, in contrast to previous vintages, the 2009 was a great year for both red and white wines, according to Wine Enthusiast. They say buy high-end barrel-aged whites from 2009 or opt for fresher styles from 2010. And by that, they mean Sauvignon Blancs and unoaked Chenin Blancs. And drink those now. For reds, they're recommending that you buy and hold 2009s, especially the Shiraz, the Pinotage, and Bordeaux varietals, and test the maturity of the 2007 and 2006 selections and start drinking 2005s or older right now. That's what they suggest you do. And then let's talk Chile, because the year 2010 will go down as one of Chile's most incredible years ever, and I agree 100%. My gosh, it just keeps getting better and better. The year 2010 was highlighted by, of course, the massive February earthquake and the latter saga of the 33 trapped and rescued miners. As for wines, 2010 yielded a lower volume than average, but was solid in terms of quality, with early release Sauvignon Blancs already showing better than in 2009. And for fans of top shelf Chilean reds, you really can't go wrong. It is a vintage that you should be drinking right now. Anyway, that is a rundown of the Southern Hemisphere. I've got just a moment to talk about France, and there was half as much rain in Bordeaux for the 6 months to the end of August as there was in 2009 itself, a dry year. Producers are very optimistic about the wines and will be available as features this spring in Burgundy. The 06 and 04 whites are good to drink now. Chablis whites from 04 and 02 are tasting delicious, and you can start opening the 03 and 1999 reds, as well as lighter reds from 2001, 1997, and 1996. And gosh, there's still other areas that I'd like to cover, such as Italy, but we don't have the time. We've given you plenty of information to send you off with. Go do your wine shopping. There's some great bargains out there. Have a great time, and be back here with us with your glass half full at Grape Encounters Radio. We love you folks, and you can get more Grape Encounters Radio at grapeencountersradio.com, so there's plenty there for you to check out. We're so glad that you were here with us today, and we will be with you next week this time.
Catch all of our previous episodes on grapeencountersradio.com. We are here 24/7 whenever you feel like uncorking one together.